Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 8. We'll get to Acts eventually here. Romans chapter 8. It's good to be in from outside in the rain. Hope you didn't get caught in it. Romans chapter 8. I want to talk about this morning the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit. We'll begin here in Acts chapter 8, verse number 1. We'll read four verses. The Bible says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." We just read a few verses, and there's several references to the Holy Spirit of God in there. Talks about there's no condemnation after we get saved. We're in Christ Jesus and we're walking after the Spirit. It says that the law of the Spirit, He makes us free from the law of sin. There is victory over sin through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he talks about that the righteousness of God, of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces righteousness in our lives. A lot of things that Romans chapter 8 teaches about the Holy Spirit. We're not going to dissect the whole Romans chapter 8. I just wanted to start there and talk about the person of the Holy Spirit. Before we go any further, I want to pray. Father, I ask that You would help us, and I ask, Holy Spirit, You will be our guide this morning. Lord, as You know a whole lot better than I do, that there is a lot of confusion about who the Holy Spirit is and what He does. And I pray that this morning we'd all set aside things maybe we've heard and focus on what the Bible says and see what You have to say to us this morning. And we ask, Lord, that those who've never experienced the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit to be saved would be saved today. And those of you of Your children, Lord, who are not walking with You would seek a filling of Your Spirit once again. We just ask for some good decisions in the hearts and lives of people today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Many people have heard about the Holy Spirit, but they don't know really who He is and what He does. You know, there's a lot of confusion about the Holy Spirit. When I was in eighth grade, a boy in my class had leukemia. And one day he went to a healing crusade, and he returned to class the next day just rejoicing that he was healed, because the man up there laid hands on him, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he pronounced him healed. Well, in a few months, he was dead from the disease, leukemia. That man who claimed he had power from the Holy Spirit deceived everybody in every one of his crusades that he ever went to. Like I said, there's a lot of confusion about the Holy Spirit, and that's part of it. Some people think that the Holy Spirit is just a force, that this mysterious force that comes upon people, and people try to create this atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. They make it a little mysterious even by the way they change the name. You know, instead of saying the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, they say the Holy Ghost. You just change how you say it, and it's all of a sudden more spiritual somehow. No, it's not any more spiritual. He is who He is. He's a person. He's not a force. In 1 John chapter 5, verse number 7, it says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one." It's teaching that the Holy Spirit is just as much God as Jesus is God and as the Father is God. It's the Trinity. And a lot of Bible versions take that part right out of 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. If you have a New International Version of the Bible, sorry, you don't have the whole Bible, because they just attack the deity of Jesus Christ. The New World Translation, a lot of other modern Bible versions have attacked the deity of Christ. They've attacked the Trinity. They've taken the Godhead away from the Holy Spirit of God. And He is the Holy Spirit of God. His name is called the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of life, the Comforter, and many, many other names are used to describe the Holy Spirit. He is God. He is alive. He's real. But when the power of the Holy Spirit is absent from a church, people try to manufacture this feeling instead of the power of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times, that's often done through music. They bring on this music with a heavy beat and lots of rhythm, and people begin to sway in the Spirit. No, they're not swaying in the Spirit. It's the music that is controlling them, not the Spirit of God. Music gets a hold of people and don't even know they're doing what they're doing sometimes. They're just into the music. No, the music's into them, and it's not the Spirit of God that's controlling. Some preachers will add a little bit of organ music to the preaching. You know, can you imagine if Mrs. Armacost got up here today, when I stressed a point, she went, you know, and they throw a little of that organ music in. That organ can really put out some vibes. That's a powerful organ. She just holds back on Sunday morning. You just let her get on that and play a special. The whole auditorium shakes. And people will use that music, even during the preaching. They try to get a gripping effect on people. It's not the Spirit of God that's gripping people. It's the music. It's the organ that's gripping people. And when the music's gone, so is the effect. And people leave church the same way they came in, with no lasting changes to their life. Now, when many people think about the Holy Spirit, a lot of people think about tongues. Automatically, people say, I'm filled with the Spirit, and they equate that with tongues. In fact, many times when they read the Bible and they see the Holy Spirit in there, they automatically substitute tongues in there. They think, well, I'm filled with the Spirit, I speak in tongues. I'm filled with the Spirit, I speak in tongues. Someone asked me once, are you filled with the Spirit? I said, yes, I've been filled with the Spirit. And they say, well, do you speak in tongues? I said, no, I don't speak in tongues. Well, then you're not filled with the Spirit. Well, then you don't know your Bible. I challenge you to read chapter 8 sometimes in the book of Romans that we read a few verses out of. The Holy Spirit is mentioned 18 times in this chapter. In the first 26 verses, 18 times. Not one time is the word tongues ever mentioned. If you study the name Holy Ghost in the Bible, it's mentioned 89 times in the New Testament. 89 times. And of those 89 times, only two of those times have any reference to tongues in those verses. That means that only 2.2% of the verses that discuss the name the Holy Ghost even mention tongues. That means there's 97.8 times that the Holy Ghost is mentioned that has nothing to do with tongues. Now, where do you think we ought to put our focus, on the 2.2% or the 97.8%? I think we ought to stick on the 97.8%, and that's what I'd like to talk a little bit about today. I can't cover in one sermon, and you'd be thankful for that, all that there is to say about the Holy Spirit of God. But I would like to, by God's grace, give you some of the basic things about how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. I've got three simple points. The first point is about half of the sermon. So just, we get through it, don't worry about it. We're going to cruise afterwards, all right? The first point is His work in salvation. Do you know the Holy Spirit works in salvation? We may know that Jesus is the Savior, and we may know that He died for us, but it's the Holy Spirit who also plays a role in the work of salvation. So I didn't know that. How does He do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you, first of all, we'll turn to John chapter number 16. John chapter 16. If you don't get to all these verses, because I'll have a pile of them, I'll try to tell you when you can try to get there or not, and other times I'm just going to read them to you. But in John chapter 16, verses 8 through 11, The first thing the Holy Spirit does in the matter of salvation is He brings conviction. He convicts. He convicts. Chapter 16, verse number 8. And when He is come, that's the Holy Spirit, He will reprove the world. That word reprove means to convince or to convict. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 9, of sin because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness because I go to My Father and ye see Me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. There's three areas here that He will convict us. First of all, of sin. He'll make you feel guilty. And He'll make you feel that, and He wants you to realize that you need forgiveness of sin. These preachers that get up and say, hey, you come to our church, you're never going to hear about sin. Well, if they're never going to tell you about sin, they're never going to tell you about salvation. Because there's no salvation without conviction. There's no salvation without repentance of sin. And you're not going to repent of sin until you're convicted of sin. And that's the Holy Spirit's job, is to convict of sin. Some people say, I don't feel comfortable sometimes when the preacher gets up and preaches. We're not always supposed to feel comfortable. If we're in sin, we better not feel comfortable. It's the Holy Spirit that's touching our heart. He's pricking our heart. He's jabbing us a little bit. He's tugging on us. He's squeezing us. He's making us feel uncomfortable. That is the Holy Spirit of God. And when that is happening in your heart, you can tell one thing, if you're not saved, that God's trying to get you saved. God's trying to say, hey, you need to turn to Me. He says that He'll, of sin, in verse number 10, of righteousness. He convicts of righteousness because I go to My Father and you see Me no more. You see, Jesus was perfect. And the Holy Spirit of God shows us what's right and what's wrong. He shows us what's good. He'll show us that we're missing something in our life. You ever feel that way? Man, I'm just missing something. That's the Holy Spirit's job, telling you, hey, you're missing something. Then He will convict of judgment. He'll show you that there's punishment coming for sin. Now, we may not see Him. You may not see the Holy Spirit of God, but you can feel Him. He works in your heart. And that's why many people can't wait to get out of church. Some people come to church and they love it, but the person with sin who doesn't want to change, who doesn't want to repent, will just sit there and say, I can't wait till he gets done so I can get out of here. And they are convicted by God trying to say, you need to be saved. That's the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. Those are the areas that He convicts, but there are three different responses that happen when God convicts you of your sin. First of all, some people resist. Paul was preaching and explaining the gospel to a leader. His name was Felix. In Acts 24, you don't have to turn there. Acts 24, verses 24 and 25. After certain days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess. He sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. So he said, I want to hear Paul. Now, Paul was in prison for preaching the gospel. And as he, Paul, reasoned of righteousness, temperance, that's self-control, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. Felix, he got scared. Here's the ruler. He's getting all nervous now because God is touching his heart. And he answered, this is what he said to Paul, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Just go away right now. You know what he's saying? I know I need to get saved, but I'm not ready. Just leave me alone right now. There are a lot of people who've been witnessed to. Maybe someone has tried to witness to you. You've heard the preaching. God's tugged on your heart. The Holy Spirit's convicted you. And you know you should have walked down that aisle and talked to someone about salvation, talked to someone about receiving Jesus as your Savior. But you put it off. You resist. You say, I'm not going to do that right now. Let me tell you, you're not guaranteed of another opportunity. There was a young lady one time, she went to a revival meeting, and she heard that she needed to repent. And she said to herself, I'll seek the Lord tomorrow night at the meeting. Well, the next night, instead of going to church, the revival meeting, she intended to go to a big party. And her mother pleaded with her not to go to that party, but to go to the revival meeting. And the young girl said, I will go if I die. She went upstairs and changed. Young man came to pick her up. When she was called, she didn't answer. Mother went up to her room and found her in front of the mirror. She had died unexpectedly while getting ready. She was right. I will go if I die. She made it into church, but it wasn't the right time. One night was too long to wait, wasn't it? We're not guaranteed. I've read several stories and several accounts of people where God, the Holy Spirit, was working on them, and they said no, they said no, they said no, they said no. Finally, he stopped. And when they came to their deathbed, people would come and even talk to them and try to show them they need to be saved. They said, I know I should have been saved, but I said, no, it's too late, it's too late. And I've read several accounts where people just died saying, it's too late. Because God worked on their heart and they said no. They resisted the Holy Ghost. I don't know if there's someone in here who's been resisting God. Oh, please, if he's convicting you to do it today, do not delay. Some people resist, some people reject. In Acts chapter 7, you don't have to get there, but in verse 54, Stephen had been preaching to some people. He was a deacon. He was just a layman. He wasn't a pastor or anything. But he was preaching the word to them. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They were convicted. And what was their response? They didn't say, just go your way. They were a little bit more vicious. The Bible's not a little. They were a lot more. They gnashed on him with their teeth. That word gnashed means to grate or to rub in a rage. Their teeth were clenched and then the Bible says, then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. They get angry. Sometimes when people get convicted by the Holy Spirit, they get mad. They just get, leave me alone. I was preaching in the Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago some years ago when a man stood up in the middle of my preaching. It was right around that area. He stood up and he just started yelling and arguing. And he was mad. You know what it was? The Holy Spirit was telling him he was wrong. I watched those ushers come. They grabbed him and carried him right through both sets of doors and right out on the sidewalk by State Street. In that same service, other people responded to the Holy Spirit's conviction. See, the Holy Spirit will use the Word of God and speak to our hearts, but we have a choice in how we respond. In this matter of conviction and salvation, some say, hey, leave me alone for now. Others just get angry. But praise the Lord, there are some who receive the conviction and receive the Lord as their Savior. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37, let me read it to you. Now when they had heard this, Peter was preaching, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. They heard the preaching. They said, well, what should we do? And he said, repent. And then praise the Lord. In verse 41, it says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. A bunch of people heard the message. And instead of saying, no, I'll put it off, or no, I don't want it, they repented. And they said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need Jesus as my Savior. It was the work of the Holy Spirit who was tugging at their heart, showing them, gripping them, trying to get them. He's pleading with you maybe today. Will you get saved? The first work of the Holy Spirit in this area of conviction, salvation, is conviction. Every individual has a choice. How you respond is up to you. But not only that, he justifies. I know Jesus justifies, but back in chapter 8, verse number 1, it's of Romans, we read earlier, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Oh, praise the Lord, when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, God forgave my sins, the Holy Spirit came in. You say, how did it all happen? I don't understand how it all happened. He's God. He just said it happened, it happened. I am not condemned for all my wicked, guilty past. It's gone. And praise the Lord for that. The Holy Spirit has a part in that. Not only that, if you turn to Titus chapter 3, verse 5, He regenerates. So that's a big word. That's one of those theological words. Yeah, it is, but we can break it down. In Titus chapter 3, verse 5, one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit in this matter of salvation, He convicts us, and when we respond to that conviction, and we turn to Jesus Christ and receive Him as our Savior, then God sends the Holy Spirit into our life to change us inside. And this is the work of regeneration. In Titus chapter 3, verse 5, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. You don't get saved by being a good guy. But according to His mercy, He saved us. How? By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. He washes away our sin. Now, I know ladies, some ladies, they love their jewelry. And the ladies, when they get their rings cleaned, man, you can hear them sometimes say, it looks like new, right? It all sparkles again. Why? Because all the filth and junk is washed away. With salvation, all your filthy sin is cleansed, and it makes you better than new. That's what the Holy Spirit can do. He wants to make you new. He wants to clean you up. The word regeneration means renovation. He makes a new person. A lot of you know we were missionaries in Zambia, Africa for some years. And after we had purchased the building, we renovated one of the rooms to make an office. But the floor was a wood floor. Upstairs was wood. The downstairs was cement, slab. You don't want the downstairs wood. All the termites would have gotten it. But upstairs was the wood. A nice wood floor, but it wasn't a nice wood floor. It was dirty. It was disgusting. It was dark. It was rutted. It was grooved. It was splintering. It was just junk. Well, we figured there must be something good underneath there. So one of the guys got a sander and just started sanding and sanding and sanding. He sanded that thing down. And it was a beautiful, smooth, light-colored wood. We put some varnish on top. It was a beautiful hardwood floor. What happened? It was transformed completely because we renovated it. And what God can do to your life is a whole lot more than what we could do to a floor. He wants to make you new. The first time I saw as a boy, the first time I ever saw it was a boy. As a boy, I witnessed a dramatic change in a person's life, a man's life. My father, years ago, worked as a tire salesman, and he was an active witness for the Lord also. There was a young man that worked at that tire company, and he was really messed up. I mean, he was strung out on drugs. He was dirty. I mean, just dirty. He had long, scraggly hair, long, scraggly beard. He's just a young guy, and he was into some really wicked heavy metal music. The guy's life was wrecked by the devil at an early age. And he knew it. And he was physically messed up from all the drugs. And he came one day to my father for help. And after explaining salvation through Jesus Christ, the man repented and received the Lord. And again, as a boy, I remember seeing, wow, what a change. That guy, by the time Sunday came around, he was clean. He smelled clean. His hair was cut. No one told him. The Holy Spirit got a hold of him and changed him. He went and cut his hair. He got his beard trimmed. He looked like a decent young man. The Sunday after that, somehow he went out and found a suit. You know, later he became a preacher. That doesn't mean that everyone who gets saved and dramatically changes becomes a preacher. No, but God changed his life. He got saved. And there's so many people say, well, I got saved, and there's no change. I'm thinking maybe you didn't get saved if there's no change. Because the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become. And if you can look the same and act the same and smell the same and do all the same wicked things, you never got saved. And stop convincing yourself otherwise. And allow the Holy Spirit of God to grip your heart and to convict you and to give into it and repent and receive Jesus. It's the only hope. It's the only hope we have. Because if you don't get saved, there's a good chance whoever you marry isn't going to get saved. And those kids that grow up in your house aren't going to get saved. And you'll all die and go to hell. Holy Spirit, He convicts, He justifies, He regenerates, He indwells. Indwell means to live within. Receiving Jesus makes us children of God. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name, John 1:12 says. But after we receive Jesus, He gives us the indwelling Holy Spirit. The Scripture says in Galatians 4:6, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit, the Spirit of His Son, into your hearts. When I received Jesus as my Savior, God sent the Holy Spirit into my heart. And He lives there. How long does He stay there? The Bible says in John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Oh, yeah. God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He doesn't leave me because the person, the Holy Spirit's with me all the time. Paul said to the believers in Corinth, he says, know ye not that that ye are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Don't you know that? They didn't know that. They had not realized it. But if you're saved, God lives within you in the person of the Holy Spirit. And that's why you feel different than you did before you got saved. If you don't feel different, you didn't get saved. You take the Holy Spirit everywhere you go. And you expose Him to everything that you do if you're saved. When you listen to wicked music, you're going to feel dirty inside because the Holy Spirit's not wanting to listen to that music. You watch a filthy video. You look at internet porn. You watch a dirty movie. You go to the bar. You say a bad word. Whatever it is, you are making the Holy Spirit go through that junk. Oh, yeah. And if you can sit out there and smile and laugh about it, it's because you don't have the Holy Spirit. And I feel sorry for you. But lastly, in this matter of salvation, He keeps us. I like this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. He keeps us. He says we're sealed unto the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit of God. Well, now, what does it mean to seal something? When you seal something, it's a sign of a completed transaction. When you get done writing a letter, you put it in the envelope, and what do you do with the envelope? You seal the envelope. Why? Because it's done. And our eternal destiny is sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. And that shows that salvation is a completed transaction. We're sealed unto the day of redemption. The day of redemption is when Jesus comes back and picks up all the saved people and brings them up to heaven. I've got the Holy Spirit in me. He's staying in me. He ain't going anywhere. And He's going to stay there, keeps me sealed, keeps me saved. And when Jesus is ready to come back and take me to heaven, amen, He's going to find the Holy Spirit there who's preserved my soul, and I'm going straight up. If you don't have full assurance that you're saved, I beg you, receive Jesus Christ today as your Savior. And He'll give you the Holy Spirit to change you, and to keep you, to protect your salvation. Now, I'm going to go very quickly. His work in salvation we covered. Let's talk about the work of sanctification. The work of sanctification occurs in those who are saved. Now, let me remind you, the Spirit of God is called the Holy Spirit. Those words, holy and sanctify, a lot of people say, are you sanctified? Are you sanctified in the Holy Ghost? Now, what do you mean by that? I don't know, but it sounds good. No. What do the words mean? The words holy and sanctify mean to be set apart. And it's the Holy Spirit's job to take me as a saved person and set me apart as a special person for God to use and to work through and to bless. I like the fact that God set me apart. Now, how does he sanctify us? First of all, he guides us. He'll guide you. If you're saved, God wants to guide you. In John 16, 13, it says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." Now, what's the truth? Right there, the Bible. You're not going to be guided until you get into this book. God's going to use his truth to guide you. People say, "The Holy Spirit told me to do such and such." Well, is that what the Bible teaches? Well, no, but it's what he told me. No, he doesn't tell you anything that doesn't agree with the Bible. And a guy one time told me, he says, "Pastor," he said, "you know, God's leading me to move to such and such a town." I said, "Well," he said, "yeah, it's God's will." I said, "Is there a good church there?" "No." "Are you going to be able to, you know, serve God there?" "No." I said, "Well, that's not God's will. The Holy Spirit didn't lead you. You led yourself and blame God for it." The Holy Spirit, he'll guide us. And the Bible, that verse continues, says, "But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Things to come. Do you want to know God's will for your future? Be filled with the Spirit of God, and he'll show you, he'll guide you. But he always uses the Bible. Secondly, as a saved person, part of his work of sanctification is not only to guide you, but to convict you. You said, "We just talked about that." Yeah, but he convicts not only the unsaved, he convicts saved people too. He convicts saved people too. Have you ever wondered why you still sin after you got saved? The reason is because you still have a sinful flesh in you that's against God, and it fights against the Holy Spirit. See, when I got saved, I've got this flesh that likes to be bad. It likes to think things wrong, wants to say things wrong, wants to do wrong things, wants to go wrong places. My flesh is bad, but the Holy Spirit is inside of me, and he wants to influence me for right. Now, there's this battle that goes on inside every day of a saved person. The Holy Spirit said, "Do the right thing." The flesh says, "Do what you want." And unfortunately, a lot of saved people listen to the flesh most of their time. You're not reading your Bible. You're not faithful to church. It's going to be real hard for the Holy Spirit to get a hold of you, because he uses the Word of God. The Bible says in Galatians 5:17, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit." Get that word, against the Spirit. "And the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other." They're fighting each other. There's a fight going on inside. "So that you cannot do the things that you would," he says. So the Holy Spirit will grip your heart and he'll make you feel uncomfortable so that you as a Christian will confess your sin so that God can bless you once again. The third thing that he does in this work of sanctification is he comforts. Those who are saved, he comforts. If you're not saved, don't expect much comfort. Though the Spirit will convict us, once we confess that sin, he's ready to bring great comfort to us. You know, sin robs us of joy, robs us of peace. How are you this morning? Are you unsettled today? Are you filled with anxiety, worry, fear? Maybe you're angry and bitter at somebody. Let me tell you, there's hope if you'll confess it and let God, the Holy Spirit, control you once again. One of his names is the Comforter, praise the Lord. In Romans chapter 15, verse 13, the Bible says, now listen to this about comfort. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope." How? "Through the power of the Holy Ghost." I can abound in hope. Everything can be against me. Everything can be against you. But when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you can abound in hope. Things aren't as bad as they seem when you're walking with God. And even if they are as bad, you're not going to think they're as bad because you got the Holy Spirit telling you, "It's all right. I got this covered. It's all going to work out," because it does all work out. Because God is still good. And in a couple of verses before that, he talks about this comfort through the Holy Spirit. Look what else he says in verse number 4. He says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So hope comes through the Holy Spirit. It comes through the Scriptures. Yes, because the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. And when you're down and depressed and discouraged, get into the Word of God. And it'll bring comfort to you. You expose your sin. You confess it. Oh, there's cleansing. You abound in hope. Not just a little bit. You can abound in it. He'll comfort you through His Word. Get in the Word. And then also, fourthly, He'll fill us. Do you know there's a difference between being indwelt by the Spirit and being filled by the Spirit? Some people don't understand the difference. They see, well, it's in the Bible. No, there's a difference. When I got saved, the Holy Spirit came in. He lives in here. He stays in here. He doesn't go anywhere. But a filling is different. A filling is when He's in control. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." Don't be controlled by alcohol or anything else that's going to control you. He said, contrary to that, but be filled with the Spirit. So the idea of being filled with the Spirit is the idea of being controlled by the Spirit. Now, let me explain this. I can be indwelt by the Spirit of God, but not controlled by the Spirit of God. I'll explain this. You'll understand this real well now. Now, I can be in my car, but not be in control. I'm going to explain this real well for you. I got two of my teenagers who have their driver's permit. And when they are behind the wheel, let me tell you, I am not in control. Because some of the things they're doing, I am not in control. I don't feel in control. I mean, it is like totally out of control sometimes when they're driving. In the same way, I can be indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but that doesn't mean He has control in my life. I can be in that car, but if I'm in the passenger seat, I don't get the wheel. And I think sometimes the Holy Spirit wants to have the wheel, and we say, get in the back seat. I want to take control right now. And when we do that, we're not filled with the Spirit of God. So yes, you can be indwelt by Him. And some of you gotten saved years ago, and He came in, He lives in you, He convicts you, He guides you, He tries to teach you, He tries to show you things, but He's not in control because you've disobeyed Him, you've refused to follow His leading. And you need to be filled with the Spirit of God. It doesn't matter if you work in the bus ministry, teach a Sunday school class, or whatever. Just because you do things for God doesn't mean you're filled with the Spirit of God. I could get up and preach in my own strength without the blessing of the Holy Spirit, but it won't go very well. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. But there's a lot of times preachers get up all over this country and preach without the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we need the Holy Spirit to fill us once again. And then the Holy Spirit produces fruit. This is another way He sanctifies us. For the kingdom of God, Romans 14, 17 says, is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness. God wants to produce righteousness in my life and in your life. And He does that through the fruit of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Is that part of your life? Joy, peace, long-suffering, you can put up with people. Gentleness, or you're always rough with people. Goodness, faith, meekness, temperance is self-control. Where you can say, no, I'm not going to do that. That's a work, that's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. He produces those things. We can try to improve our life, but we don't have the power to change it. True goodness comes when the Holy Spirit's in control. That's what we need, to be filled with the Spirit. But then He also empowers. We're in a battle against sin, as I mentioned before. We're tempted every day. There's that fight going on between the flesh and the Spirit. And we can resolve, I'm not going to go to the end of that temptation again, but you're going to fail because your strength is weak. So how do we have victory? Galatians 5:16. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, it sounds real simple, doesn't it? Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That is Bible and that is true. The problem is we don't walk in the Spirit. Walking is taking a series of steps. And walking in the Spirit, how does that occur? It occurs when you trust God to help you take the steps that are pleasing to Him. Lord, you want me to do this? It's tough. I don't know how to do it. It's hard for me to do it. I might not even want to do it. But give me the strength. I'm going to take that step. Step of obedience, dependence on God to help you do it. We're walking in the Spirit. Seek that promised help that the one who lives within you came to give you. Now, last of all, and we'll go quickly, we'll wrap it all up. Holy Spirit, who is He? He's God. What does He do? He works in our lives in the matter of salvation. He works in our lives as Christians in this matter of sanctification, making us more righteous, producing good things in our lives so that we can serve Him. But He also works in this area of service. Service. God wants to work through you if you're saved. And He has a job for you, every one of us, no matter who you are. And oftentimes we want to serve Him, but we think that we lack what's needed. We don't lack what's needed. We have what's needed. We've got the Holy Spirit. And you need to be filled with Him so that He can work through you. What does He do? He gives us power to witness. In the closing pages of John chapter, in John chapter 20, in verse 19, you'll see the disciples are hiding from the Jewish leaders. Man, they're in fear. They had just put Jesus to death, and they're all afraid, so they're hiding up there. They don't want to be the next ones. Well, by the time you get to Acts chapter 4, something changed completely with these men. Those timid disciples who were hiding for fear had a new boldness to witness for the Lord once they were filled with the Spirit. Even after they were threatened by those same rulers that crucified Jesus, they threatened Him in Acts chapter 4. And then they went back and they prayed. And the Bible says in Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And what happened? And they spake the word of God with boldness. You might be timid to witness for the Lord, but if you're filled with the Spirit, you can speak the word with boldness. God will give you what you need to serve Him. It's a filling of the Spirit that's what you need. We need a filling to witness. We need a filling. We need to serve Him. We need God's power to do good works. Let me tell you something. Even Jesus was enabled to do good deeds through the power of the Holy Spirit. You say, oh, I don't know about that. You say, He was God. He was God. But He also got His power from the Holy Spirit. Acts 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. How did He go about doing good? He was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. You know, there's some people who call themselves Christians. They go around doing a whole lot of bad. You know what it tells me? They're not filled with the Holy Spirit. But if we're filled with the Spirit, we can do some good. Unfortunately, a lot of people are impressed by what they do for God. Oh, man, I do pretty good. I do a lot of stuff for God. But can you imagine what God could do through you if you let Him do the work? The great composer Mendelssohn once visited a cathedral, and it contained one of the most priceless organs in Europe. He asked the organist to play, but the organist kind of brushed him off and said, I don't know you, and we don't just let any old stranger come in here and play on this organ. It was a priceless organ. But Mendelssohn, he persisted, and finally the organist said, okay, I'll let you play. Mendelssohn got on, and he started just playing the most beautiful music that organist had ever heard. And with tears in his eyes, he tapped Mendelssohn on the shoulder and he said, who are you? Mendelssohn said one word, Mendelssohn. And the man was in shock. And he said to himself, to think that an old fool like me nearly forbade Mendelssohn to play upon my organ. The Holy Spirit would like to produce some beautiful harmonies in your life, and He can do a better job than you can. Let Him have control, and your service will have a much more pleasant tune when He's working through you than when you're trying to do it yourself. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, please. Nobody looking around. The Holy Spirit's real. We've seen what He does. You know, He has the power to change drunkards into sober people. We've seen that. He transformed angry people into gentle people. He's taken people on the verge of suicide and given them hope and peace. My friends, God is alive, and He works through His Spirit. Let me ask you a question. Do you have the Holy Spirit? If not, why don't you receive Jesus today? Has He convicted you this morning? Has He been convicting you? Will you resist Him, or will you yield to Him today and say, okay, Lord, I need You to come in and change my life. I can't do this on my own.